Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
This is the Zombies, Government, and You podcast, coming to you from deep within a subterranean zombie-proof bunker somewhere in the Sonoran Desert. We send out seditious signals of liberty and voluntary interactions to help you navigate and survive the hordes of state-worshipping undead that seek to assimilate you.
The Zombies Government You podcast is covered by a BIPCOT NoGov license. Use and reuse by anyone except government. And or if their agents is okay.
I love it, dude. You're gonna get it right one of these days.
One of these days. Put me in, coach.
Okay, so I'm David.
I'm Drew.
And who do we got here with us?
I'm John.
What's up, John? John is a friend of Drew's and now a friend of mine. And you've listened to the show a couple times, right?
Yeah, I listened a couple, yeah.
Yeah, so.
John is a...
why not have him on? He's a pretty cool guy.
Fan favorite and returning guest on the Too Legit with Drew and Nick podcast. Shameless plug.
Close to a regular.
Well done.
Close to a regular. Yeah, you should show up more often. No, man, I've known John since 1999, so second oldest friend I have.
Who's the first?
My friend Ivan.
Oh, okay.
Known him since first grade.
I thought you meant just old in terms of age. I thought that was like a dig at me again.
No, you know what? It would be you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, you just had a birthday. You celebrated your birthday at Comic-Con. Way to do it.
Yeah, it was fun, man. Comic-Con was interesting, dude.
I had no idea what to expect.
No, I've never been to one. So we just jumped in with like 3 days of panels.
Yeah.
Trial by fire or trial by geek, as it were, I guess.
Yeah, I'm really glad we were able to get those beers before the podcast to loosen up or before the panel, because it was, dude, I was nervous, man. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, dude, public speaking is way different from podcasting. You know, I love podcasting. You get here and, you know, it's kind of it's a sterile environment a little bit because you're here. It's a room.
It's a conversation.
Yeah, there's microphones and head, you know, but there it was like people in front of you, they're listening.
Yeah.
Judging, staring.
You guys can keep all that.
Yeah. Instead of a talk, it was a, I don't know, a lecture almost.
Well, yeah. It's almost.
I mean, it's a performance. You have to deliver to the people.
You're, right.
And
you're there to give a presentation.
Presentation. That was the word I was
there
thinking
you go.
Of.
But no, everyone was really cool, man. You know, most of the people were nice. I think pretty much everybody was really cool.
Yeah, except for whoever that lady was that complained about the Too Legit panel after the second day.
Wait, what?
I'm surprised you made it to the second day without a complaint.
I know, second day. Did I tell you about that?
No.
We had to have a monitor watch us on our third day because a lady complained on our second day that said, she said someone was being racist and overusing the F word.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
Triggered, okay. Man.
Trigger zone.
Yeah, and so she complained about it. We had a monitor come in. And 10 minutes left in our last day of Comic-Con, the monitor came up to our table and whispered to one of our guides, Chester, said something to him. Then Chester comes back in the microphone and says, "Hey, guys, he said that we can't say anymore." And just the whole room lit up, man. It was too funny when he said that. And
I like that thumbing of the nose a little, you know, like, yeah.
Yeah. So no, it was a fun experience. Gosh dang it, it was hot. I couldn't imagine being decked out in a costume in that kind of heat.
Yeah,
I feel like I should have had a GoPro strapped to my chest just to see all the costumes and weird people.
Yeah. I totally thought about that. Yeah, you should. God, I was Snapchatting the whole time, just looking at the people.
You millennials. Are you a millennial?
Right on the cusp of generation.
You millennials and your toys. No, but it was cool, man. I thought it'd be just an interesting experience. You get in for free. You got to work and you got to pay for parking, but just kind of a cool way to go kind of spread the word of liberty in a way. You know, if you can convince people that they don't need the government in a zombie apocalypse, it's a little victory. It should be a little bit easier to convince them that, hey, what else? We don't need it for this either, you know?
I feel like that would be a mixed crowd. I definitely thought there were a lot of people that were open to it, and then I could definitely see there are a lot of people that weren't.
I feel like as we went on day one, two, and three for your David, your panel, there was a lot more people interested in the government.
Yeah,
the topic of your show more so than the zombies. And I remember well before Comic-Con, I tried to, you know, plant in you like, hey, let's talk about zombies a little bit more than the government
right.
thing. It's think of the crowd, and I was way off.
I was kind of in the same boat as you. I was wondering which aspect to emphasize more: zombies, government, or what you can do to defend against both. Essentially,
yeah.
I was kind of taken aback too how people really were more interested in like the government response or aspect of it, and a lot of them were kind of
how they would mess it up.
Yeah, a lot of them were more skeptical than even I thought, which kind of gave me a little bit of hope. Uh-huh. You know, so I wasn't totally preaching to the choir, but I think, you know, a lot of open-minded people there, and that was really cool.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you came out, thanks, man. Thanks for the support.
Day two crowd was definitely different than the first crowd.
Yeah, that was rough. I mean,
was that the sold-out room?
That's when it was packed.
Holy crap, man.
Started packed.
Yeah, we walked in and I was like, whoa, because Thursday was really like the ramp up. And, you know, they're a smaller crowd. Everybody's really.
And Thursday, they gave us the three rooms put together.
Yeah, that was a huge room.
And everyone was cool. And it was still the decent. It was really crowd. Intimate, yeah. Kind of, you know, so there were like, I don't know, a handful of people there, maybe 10, 20. I don't remember.
Oh, no, well, there was way more.
Was there?
It was like 35 at least.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Okay. Yeah, and then the next night, it was like standing room.
Right. I remember we walked in. I think I was not a little late, but not as early as I would have liked to have been. But I remember walking in. The lights were dim for some reason.
That was as high as they went. I've messed with them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh. And I walk in. I saw the people, and I just wanted to ask them, what are you guys here for? Yeah. What do you think you're going to see?
Whoa.
But no, it was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that day two, man, that Friday crowd was a little rough to warm up.
They came around.
They did.
So we can work a room.
Yeah, as soon as Nick started bringing up some of the Indian jokes, they love that.
Which he is an Indian, you know, he is a Native American Indian, so he can get away with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got, it's like me making white trash jokes, so.
Yeah, you're from Page. Here I am, I couldn't make any Mexican jokes because I don't look brown enough to get away with it, so I.
Yeah, you kind of look Arab to me.
Yeah,
with the beard. Oh, no. No, it's fine. you're a damn handsome.
Extra screening? Is that what?
I hate you guys.
My dad gets extra screening.
Does he really?
Yep.
At the airport?
Yeah.
Does he ask for it or are they just.
No. He just gets randomly selected.
Quote unquote.
Especially about halfway through summer when he's tan. I kid you not.
See, and I thought they primarily just shook down like old ladies in wheelchairs and children. I thought those were kind of their favorite targets to, you know, grope.
Yeah, they get bored with them.
Mix it up every once in a while, throw a, you know.
Get someone with fight.
So, security theater, right?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about you saying children and then groping in the same breath.
Well, that's what the TSA does. Let's be honest about it.
All right, where's Chris Hansen?
So, I don't know, man. I guess we should just get to the meat of it here. And something I don't really want to talk about, but we're going to. And that's the shooting in Orlando, which is just a flipping travesty. Mm-hmm.
It lasted like hours.
Yeah.
Man, that's nuts.
Well, you know, there's so much like still in flux. But it sounded like a lot of it was the initial event, and then there was a hostage situation, and they were you know, talking to him for a period of time. And, he, you know, because he was in there sending out tweets and, you know, Facebook and all that. I don't know why it took him 3 hours, to, you know, to get that resolved when people are in there, like, dying. And
I'd like to believe there's at least a reason for it. They can't, you can't bull rush a guy that's got his hand on a trigger with a gun to someone's head.
They probably thought he had it, you know, explosives. I mean, I understand there's a you know, they probably went with an overabundance of caution there after initially trying to make contact with him. But yeah, I think just a horrible situation.
What was the I'm pretty far behind on this story. Was there a motive in this, like why he was doing it, or is it just flat out I'm going to attack a bunch of gays?
It hasn't. I don't think anything's actually definitively come out. Was it?
Well, it's getting more and more. You know, you're seeing more and more pieces have come out, and it looks more to me like initially they were like it's an act of terrorism, and of course it is. But it looks more and more like this dude has a history of homosexual activity, and I think that's really what like didn't jive with him. Like he couldn't reconcile that with his faith. So that was him, like, exercising that aspect of his, because like guys in high, people in, that knew him in high school thought he was gay. He was on like all some of these gay apps, like you know, Grindr and all this other stuff. So, you know, I think that's why he had been to that club before many times. So,
okay. John, you're laughing, and I know who you're thinking about.
Well, it's just the people that tend to be the harshest on
gays,
a certain, well, not even necessarily that, but just on something, turn out to have an issue with that themselves.
Exactly. No,
it just, there is a certain person I'm thinking of, but
uh-huh.
No, yeah, and that's totally true.
No, yeah, absolutely.
So
I can see that being an issue, especially pledging, you know, saying that he did it for ISIS. And
yeah,
did he just say that, or is there actual ties between him and ISIS?
No. I don't know, man. He went to Saudi Arabia. He made a pilgrimage, which that, you know, a lot of Muslims do that. And that's, you know, that's part of their, the Hajj, that's part of their faith. And that's great. I don't know that, you know, he necessarily got radicalized over there or whatever. Like I said, there's a lot that I don't know about, but I think that the most interesting aspect of it is that you had a pretty much a gay Muslim registered Democrat who was working for the government go in and shoot up a gay club, and everybody wants to, you know, not look at certain aspects of that. You know, they want to just focus on the gun, or, you know, depending on what side of the spectrum you're on. You know, if you're a gun hating liberal, then you're, you know, you got to focus on the gun aspect of it, or that he shot up a gay club. If you're a you know, right winger America Trump guy, then you focus on the fact that he was a Muslim, and, you know.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to admit that he was totally. I mean, this guy's all over the map. So he was a copsucker too. You know, he wanted to, you know, he worked security for you know, a while, and he worked for the part of the DHS, I believe, Immigration Services or something. And you know, there's pictures of him wearing NYPD shirts. Like, so, you know, not saying that he was ever part of that organization, but
yeah,
you know, he admired him. So
idolizing, yeah.
The right wing will never admit that, though. You know, they'll never look at that aspect of it. They're just going to focus on the Muslim aspect of it.
Yeah, no, I thought it just sucks a lot that the, you know, gay community, you know, it's been really progressive. They made a lot of good positive moves within, you know, the last few years of I don't know, more acceptance and equality, and then this happens and it takes a lot of focus off of them, and they're turning into this, you know, now giving Trump some firepower, anti-Muslim. It's bringing back, I mean, not that the gun debate went anywhere, but holy crap, man, people are just divided on this one, like now more than before.
Yeah, the gun debate, I mean, it always kind of surfaces.
It's always there.
Like a few weeks ago, the Ninth Circuit of the Supreme, or the Ninth Circuit of the federal court or whatever decided that nobody has a right to conceal carry. The Second Amendment doesn't give you a right to carry concealed.
Well, that's not right. Good on federal property. I don't care What's about that. That.
Right. Well, no, it applies to like a lot of the Western states. It's just a way to get that back to the Supreme Court. So
my thing is the Second Amendment itself doesn't even matter to the states, only on federal property.
Yeah, good point.
Well, yeah. I don't believe in the second. I don't think our right to self-defense or to own property, which is what firearm ownership is to me, comes from the Second Amendment. You know, the Second Amendment is just a codification of our natural rights, you know, natural right to do this. And, you know, it's great that it's in the Bill of Rights, but it doesn't go far enough. And the way that it's written is kind of, you know, a lot of people like to kind of twist it around and turn it into their own designs. But, you know, Supreme Court versus Heller ruled that people have a right to own firearms for, you know, the protection. Mm-hmm. And still people will try to make that argument that that only applies to, like, ancient rifles, you know, muskets or the weaponry of the time. Mm-hmm. And that's completely false.
I think people misconstrue the Second Amendment being for self-protection from individuals anyways. It's not. It's self-protection from the government.
Tyrannical government.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Yep.
That is what militias are for. Hmm. And that is actually what the Second Amendment was the well-regulated militia, which is pretty much...
Man, those guys in Oregon really had to figure it out.
Yeah, bad. Yeah. You talk about the Bundys or the Clivens. That was straight up murder, but that was just bad tactics on their part. So, you know, bad strategy. But no, exactly what you're saying is what the, you know. I don't want to get too into the whole Second Amendment thing because, like I said, it. You know, I'm not. I don't think the Constitution is this wonderful document. You know, the Constitution's that either has given us the government that we have or allowed it to be so. But like I said, it doesn't give us our rights. It just kind of codified them in the Bill of Rights. But then a lot of the Constitution that came after that undermined it with, you know, the common welfare clause and all that crap. So, but a lot of, like, the anti-gunners, they like to make that argument that, oh, no one needs an AR-15 or – which the AR-15 wasn't even used in this incident. It was a Sig Sauer MCX, I believe. Anyway. So it's,
something,
you know,
like that.
Yeah, which is a great gun, but it wasn't an AR-15. But, you know, that's what they seize on, of course, because that's all they know because it's scary.
I love that meme that's like, you know, everything that is anything like it is labeled AR-15, and then it shows a whole bunch of handguns on one side, Glock, 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 Glock. It's a flintlock, but it's a Glock.
Yeah. It's a black powder rifle. That's a bazooka. It was the interesting thing that I found out, too, is that people will say, well, the government didn't mean for those types of guns to be covered and because they didn't exist back then. It was, you know, single-shot muskets or flintlocks or whatever. And that's not true because there was actually I found – it's called the – what is it? Puckle gun? I heard that, Drew.
It just sounds like a gay act.
A gay act?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you I'm going to give you the puckle gun.
Oh, good.
Bend over.
Puckle up. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Hey, baby, we going to puckle tonight?
Puckle me all night long. Puckle me all night long, baby. No, but it was like a precursor to the Gatling gun. So it was like basically like a rotating handle thing that would shoot, I don't know, however many, like 11. And that was in 1718. So, you know. Almost 80 years or 75 years before the ratification of the Constitution. And then in 1777, there was something called the Belton Flintlock, which was, you know, that was kind of like the Puckle gun was like a tripod mounted one that you could, you know, set up. This is more like a single person could carry it. And it was like almost like a repeating flintlock that would fire like 16 rounds in 20 seconds or something. Yeah. Which
for the time
for that
is,
time, yeah.
So that's impressive.
Yeah,
and those were both in existence when the Second Amendment was being debated / ratified, and the government never forbid the ownership of either of those to the, you know, the citizens or the quote unquote militia. Which the militia is just any man of fighting age or ability. You know, it's not like some kind of organized you know, thing which people try to say, but.
Well,
that whole argument, you know, AR-15s aren't covered, or, you know, they're assault weapons, which is not true.
Oh, I hate that term so much. I hate that term, assault anything.
Yeah, assault.
I can assault anyone with a
assault
weapon.
Assault screwdriver, assault bottle.
Oh, my God. Service-style weapons
right.
or firearms. I'll take that.
Right.
But not
it's a semi-automatic rifle that fires one round per pull of the trigger. So.
Yes.
And that could cover just about anything, you know. Mm-hmm. It just has the scary. It just has the things that make it look scary. The shoulder
God,
stock
black.
and the rails and you know,
the barrel gets really hot when you shoot it.
And then you know, was that idiot senator a few years ago that was like, well, you know, what's a barrel shroud or what's a buttstock? She's like, it's the thing on the shoulder that goes up, you know. And she had no. She's here trying to ban you know assault weapons. She has no idea what.
See, you said she. That's why.
Oh. Whoa.
I know. I do not speak for the founders of the ZGY podcast. I am ignorant.
Yes. Yeah. There are plenty of women who could outshoot both of us, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I'm an idiot. I don't know crap about guns.
We still need to go shooting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me finish this beer. We'll go.
I would, but I sold all my guns. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Finger quotes.
traded him in. So yeah, this whole debate's just it's disgusting. The amount of ignorance that's coming out, but there's some funny stuff too. There was this article this guy wrote in the New York Daily News about the AR-15, and it said,
"Oh, geez, yeah."
This guy goes full freaking potato. What's it like to fire an AR-15?
Oh, is this the guy that said, like, the recoil hurt my shoulder and
yeah, what's it?
Pansy.
Let me get his name here.
Knocked my tampon out.
You got to shame this guy. Gersh Kuntzman from the New York Daily News describing his first.
Like Nazi guard.
Describing his first.
Gersh Kuntzman. Sorry.
Sounds more like a Hebe to me, but a Hebrew guy. But anyway, whatever. I know.
That is anti-Semitic.
Either way, it's fine. No, I'm just saying it sounds like a Hebrew name to me. I don't care. You know, I care that he's an idiot and I'll just say he's a pussy. You know, so
take that, Gersh.
So what is it like to fire an AR-15? It's horrifying, dangerous, and very, very loud. The recoil, quote unquote, the recoil bruised my shoulder. The brass shell casings disoriented me as they flew past my face.
You're such an idiot. Was he left-handed?
I guess.
I mean, he has to be in order to fly by his face.
That's what I didn't get that either. He was shooting a right-handed and he's left.
Yeah, that's going to just be awkward.
Or was he standing? You know, he was standing on the wrong side of somebody else firing it. Perhaps I don't know. You know, but even then, it just bounces off of you. It's not like you know, get hurt by it. Might be a little hot if it goes down your shirt or something, but. Anyway, so the smell of sulfur and destruction made me sick. Sulfur and destruction.
And destruction?
Like what is he like shoot? Trying to like import biblical terms, on, you know, in there. So I'm going to rain sulfur and destruction down
Sir,
on you with an AR-15 that fires essentially an accelerated or a little bit larger 22 round, you know.
0.223.
Right.
The smell
or
of hellfire.
5.56 millimeters.
The explosions, loud like a bomb. I guess he's had a lot of experiences being around bombs.
I like to just say it's not gave sulfur, me, it's cordite.
Right.
Come on.
Gave me a temporary case of PTSD. But that's not sexy. You know, cordite's not sexy. Sulfur is sexy.
Sulfur.
Yeah, that implies, you know,
smells
punishment.
Devil. Give me temporary PTSD.
This gun is the devil. Yeah, gave me a temporary case of PTSD, which...
That's kind of messed
I don't,
up. There's
I don't,
nothing
yeah,
temporary about PTSD.
I don't... Is that even... How is that even possible? I have a temporary case of PTSD. I think that's kind of insulting to people who actually do have it.
Well, absolutely. No, you can totally self-diagnose yourself that.
Yeah. for at least an hour after firing the gun just a few times, I was anxious and irritable. So because this guy has no stones and
– I was going to say, I'm hard as a rock after I shoot a gun. I don't know what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
Oh John, you want to see my puckle
gun? No, he's going on. He's going.
Sorry, I'm done.
Going on and on about the recoil. The recoil on an AR-15 is
it's
unless you're like holding it against your chin or you know what I mean, like right on your Adam's apple or throat. The recoil is like I don't know.
No.
Nothing. It's nothing, dude.
Unless Nana's standing up without the use of her walker and she shoots it, you're fine.
Even then, dude. I mean, children can fire this rifle, like you know. of a certain age.
I've shot one. I'm an idiot.
You know what I mean? And this guy's saying the recoil.
For God's sake, they make pink ones. Maybe that's what he needs.
Hey,
I'm a pink one.
Well, you know, there is a thing called the pink pistols, which we'll get into later.
I'm curious though.
Goes back to the Orlando shooting.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before. Everyone's arguing about, you know, gun rights or you know, take the guns away, leave the guns. What do you think the right way is to settle the debate?
Government not be involved at all?
Bingo. That's why I wanted John on this podcast.
Are you saying like anyone can just walk up to a gun store and be like, "Hey, I'm gonna gun. Here's money."
Yeah.
Well, I don't see why not, but it's up to the owner, obviously, too. You know, the owners or the owner of the gun should use their best judgment. I think most people who would run a business selling firearms would, you know, exercise due diligence or caution and say, "Whoa, this guy seems a little nutty," or, you know, he's tweaking, or
yeah.
Anything else is ineffective, anyways.
You know,
I'll say, yeah.
Do you ever go to gun shops, dude? Gun shops are not my favorite place to go. I love guns, but I don't like going into gun shops a lot of times because there are a lot of weirdos or just dudes that come in there to, like, you know, talk about, you know, weird calibers or just whatever. You know?
You know who works in a gun shop?
Rufio.
Yeah.
Talk about. So these guys. You know, I think if you've been in a gun shop or own one, you kind of have a good feel for who's on and who's off. You know what I mean?
Profiling?
Intuition, dude. Yeah. I'm not against profiling in a way, okay? If it makes sense, but...
It would just be nice if there's a
if you can profile, finally, like, hey, this guy looks like... I'm going to profile this guy because he looks like an idiot who shouldn't buy a gun. I'm not comfortable selling it to him. Please leave my store. You know, go somewhere else or whatever. That's fine, but...
It'd just be nice if there's finally a definitive end to the how do you go about getting a gun, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for fairy tales here, I guess. I just want
This is the thing. This is why gun law, you know, everyone says we need, and this word drives me insane, we need sensible gun laws or sensible gun restrictions. That word is like has no fucking meaning. You know, it's like, what is sensible? What's sensible to you? It's completely subjective. What's sensible to you is not sensible to somebody else. You know what I mean? That's what's sensible to, you know, a politician or a statist is not sensible to somebody who actually values liberty and individual freedom. You know, your sensibility is my tyranny and vice versa. You know, so this whole thing with, like, you know, common sense reform, it's these meaningless terms that get bandied about that mean absolutely nothing. You're just not supposed to be able to argue with them. You know what I mean? It's like they say it's sensible, can't argue with it. Well, it's sensible, so if you oppose it, you're not sensible. You're in it, you know.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
Everyone complains about the lack of common sense these days anyways. Why even use that as a qualifier? Common sense gun reform. Wait, but there's no common sense anymore, so.
There's just too many stupid people out there.
Right, and that's that whole argument, too, is that, you know, I was getting into it. People are scum, or, you know, and well, then why would you give them, you know, power? You worry so much about giving people who are horrible people and who are scum or who are stupid guns, but then you give them something even worse, and that's power. You know, you put them in office, you give them power over people's lives, you give them power to make decisions over people's lives when they're literally either psychopathic, idiotic, or a toxic mixture of both.
So you're going way up there with giving people power. I'm thinking they're giving dumb people driver's license to drive a deathmobile. I'm just saying, a lot of dumb people.
Okay. Well, there is, but so you not being one of them means you just have to recognize that and take responsibility for yourself. You know what I mean? You have to own yourself. You have to take responsibility for yourself and provide protection for yourself.
Sure.
And that was part of what – that's a big part of the problem with that shooting in Orlando was it was in a gun – surprise, surprise, another gun-free zone, which is basically a free fire zone for people who aren't going to listen to stupid laws.
Well, yeah, but you're also in a bar that serves alcohol. And
so?
I'm fully about no gun. Well, granted, you're kind of setting yourself up to be
a
victim.
If you go out to drink, yes, you should not carry a firearm. Okay,
right.
I'm all for that. That's common. Common sense. No, but you know that you know you should as a responsible human being, as a responsible individual.
Sure.
But a lot of people will go with a designated driver or something like that. Why not have a designated firearm carrier? You know, that's not drinking that night. So maybe the designated driver is also the designated
bodyguard.
Bodyguard. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, the designated.
Yeah, that protection. Stands to reason. I can. Yeah. No. That I can. I can get behind.
So I mean, that's. But that's individuals kind of acting, you know, doing stuff for themselves, and that, you can't have that. You know, it has to be like some kind of top-down solution. You know, that's what everybody wants is to ban things or to, you know, regulate things more. It's not like, well, let's take away the gun-free zones and let people, you know, work to serve each other, you know, to do it themselves. Or let, you know, let that bar hire some private security or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Train, you know, that are able to carry. Maybe you have, you know, I mean, they all have bouncers, but maybe you have one or two that are carrying concealed or whatever. You know what I mean? That have been trained to respond to situations like that. I mean, they are becoming fairly common. So there is training out people are offering training to respond to situations like that.
You said they're becoming more common, and it's very unfortunate. But at the same time, it's not like you're going to go to work tonight at the gay bar that you frequent, David, and you're like,
what dream world are you?
It's I don't know. Like, it's,
if by it, gay bar you mean I'm asleep by like 8 o'clock in my own bed, and
I wouldn't mind going to a gay bar.
Yeah,
I went once. It's a good time.
I would
great drink.
I just
specials.
Can't stay up that late. I'm sure they're very fun, very convivial.
I'm kind of curious if I get hit on.
You wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I don't know. We'll talk to Miguel. We'll get him to take us.
Okay.
Anyways, off the topic.
No, sorry. No, that's fine.
But no.
Any bar, you know.
Any bar. It's not like anyone. I don't think they're happening common enough that, as an owner, you're thinking, "Crap, I gotta get some security," especially in Orlando. Maybe if you're in AJ, if you're in some crappy part of Mesa, you're in a dive shady area.
I would anyways. If I was the owner, if I could without. Jumping through all the hoops that I have to through registration and all that, and that's put on by that's mandated by government. Mm-hmm. I'd have an armed guard at the front.
You've talked about opening a cigar shop a number of times. I've heard that idea. You would care, but what if you served alcohol?
I would carry.
Do you even vape, bro?
Can you? Are you allowed to carry? If Why there's not? Alcohol present.
Yeah.
Are you
actually in Arizona? Yes, you can carry in any bar.
As long as you're not drinking.
As long as you
And as long drink. As they don't have a sign.
Oh, so we do have that rule. Yes. That you can be the designated gun holder.
Yeah.
Driver.
But a lot of bars will have, they have, there's like a statute and they have to have a sign up that says you can't carry here. And if they don't have that sign, you're, as the way I understand it, you're permitted to carry there.
Can they at least?
As long as you don't consume alcohol.
Okay.
And I try to not frequent those places.
Right.
You vote with your dollar.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You answer my question.
So the problem is that you have these free fire zones or gun-free zones that are created by the government. So they're creating the problem, right? Because they're not allowing – they're actually taking people's right away to – of self-defense away.
Why is that the problem but not the asshole that's shooting?
Because the asshole that's shooting is picking that place for that very reason. Because he knows it's a shooting – it's a free fire or shooting zone. It's fish in a barrel, man. You know, he knows he can walk in there, and for the most part, nobody's going to be armed unless somebody's breaking the rules, in which that's a good example of sometimes breaking the rules can actually help save your life.
Hear that, kids?
I'm not advocating it, but, you know, take that for what you will. You know?
I am.
I do, too. But, you know, I mean, legally, yeah, liability-wise, I'm not saying, you know, you make up your own mind. You got to decide when and where you decide not to carry a firearm to defend yourself, so...
Well, I'm just talking rules in general.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just poking the bear.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, at that point, you'd just be breaking the rules of other people's property. But, you know, I think if you're a place that's going to forbid people to carry a firearm to defend themselves, then it's almost incumbent upon you to provide a level of protection for them. You know what I mean?
That's fair to say.
And if they won't or you don't feel comfortable with that, like he said, just go somewhere else. Vote with your feet. Vote with your dollars. You know, go to some other place. Mm. But
What I did find interesting was that article you sent us, the guy wanting to get rid of the Second Amendment, and his argument about or dealing with that, you know, and this actually goes to kind of what you were saying a little bit earlier, Andrew, about multiple armed people in a crowded room and, you know, music and all this, and if someone comes in and starts shooting. You know, he said, oh, it'd be a nightmare, you know, people not knowing what's going on, just firing into whatever. I don't think he would have gone past the front door.
Yeah.
If the people, because there's a place like that, going to be people outside smoking, people in line, an armed guard maybe, if you were able to.
Yeah, and at the Orlando place, there was, if I read it right, there was like an off-duty cop near the bar, like busting somebody for underage drinking or something, and he heard the shots and went to the scene, but I don't think, obviously he wasn't, you know, able to, he wasn't at the scene.
Yeah, so he was already inside.
But he was in the area at that time, and I don't know if he tried to make entry or if he waited for, you know, other backup or not. And I know they have different training now since Columbine, where Columbine they waited for SWAT. Now they're trained to like go in, even one or two of them, and engage right away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's multiple instances of people that were carrying firearms stopping a massacre or a shooting from getting worse. Because a lot of times, yeah, once they get return fire, you know, the person who's trying to commit some kind of,
all of a sudden, it's not a freebie. They sense
right. Danger. Yeah, it's not a free fire zone. Whoa, I'm taking fire. So what?
At heart, they're cowards. They were truly.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
Well, if you're picking an easy spot like that, now saying that is to assume the other people who are breaking the rules in the bar that have their guns. That's assuming they're a decent shot, and they're not going to miss the guy and possibly hit a bystander.
See, but this is what I was saying, that if it was in a free to carry society, mm-hmm. if the owner had armed guard available, also maybe. Either or.
I'm guarding for sure.
He would not have gone past.
Yeah, that's your first line of defense.
And he, the moment that they would have seen him with something and not, you know, yielding, he would have been done.
Or just not make it, you know, they know it's not a soft target.
Yeah.
They know that there's potential armed people there who will resist them, actively resist them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a deterrent in and of itself. It's not a, you know, instead of making it a soft target, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to get shot at. I'm a pussy who wants to kill a bunch of people in a room, but I don't necessarily want to get shot at by them. So maybe I'll find another softer target, which, you know, which that was. And yeah, he obviously had a vendetta because of his, I think he had some conflicted feelings about his sexuality, which don't jive with, you know, the hardline form of Islam he subscribed to. So. But yeah, that dude in the Rolling Stone went full potato.
Oh, completely. Oh, let's just.
It needs to be repealed because it's outdated. A threat to liberty.
His arguments were completely ridiculous.
No, it reminds me of literally something I would read in 1984. It's like newspeak. You know, it's like, it's so twisted, dude. This guy, and he's supposedly a constitutional.
I thought you were reading from expert. The Onion.
Yeah, exactly. It does read like that.
Well, the messed up thing is that he's a constitutional professor. I mean, that.
Well, so is our people. So is the president. And
oh, God.
You know, I have a feeling a lot of them go on to become. Not that I'm a huge fan of the Constitution. Don't get me wrong, but it is what it is, and we're working with it right now. So we'll talk about it in, you know, context of this this conversation. And I think a lot
that's
of them.
What we have.
So. I don't know if they go there strictly set to, like, you know, learn it to twist it and undermine it, or if that just happens because there's so much, you know, socialist thinking and crap being taught in the universities, you know. Mm. But yeah, it seems like so many of them just come in and totally twist and pervert the ostensible meaning of the original document, you know.
Especially when in the very beginning of that article he mentions that he uses it for social justice.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay, all arguments you're about to make are now invalid.
Null and void. Yeah, he's a social justice warrior, man. He's everything is going to be through that lens of cultural Marxism. You know, it's not any kind of, like, you know, individual liberty. It's how can I twist this to fit this agenda?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's the same argument that they use in that about self-defense when he's completely missing the point of any of that. But he's... I could not believe that when I read that. The entire thing was just ludicrous.
Yeah, so this whole situation was tragic, obviously. It goes without saying. But it's so illustrative, I think, of like that mindset of the social justice warriors of the left and how they really tried to do some like mental gymnastics to wrap their head around this one. Like the gay Muslim registered Democrat was on a watch list and he was still able to go buy these weapons.
Yeah, he was on a no fly list, wasn't he?
Well, he was, yeah. I don't know if he's on the no-fly list, but I know he's on a watch list.
I thought I remember reading saying if you're on a no-fly list, you shouldn't be able to buy it.
Well, gun. Yeah, and that's the whole new... That's, well,
that's a ludicrous thing to begin with.
Well, now, and that's the whole thing with all these people who are supporting Trump, like Hillary, and a lot of them have been saying, if you're on this terrorist watch list, yeah, you shouldn't be able to buy a firearm. And now Trump's come out and basically endorsed that. So the fact that if you think you can vote for either one of them and it's going to make any difference, that should kind of blow like a... you know, Titanic sized hole in that theory. But yeah, the no fly list is like replete with problems, dude. It's totally unconstitutional, quote unquote. But you know, there's no due process there. It's just like, oh well, we suspect you. It's almost like thought crime. You know, we suspect you of being a terrorist, so we're gonna put you on this list that you can't fly, you know, but there's no due process. You don't even know if you're on the list, you don't know why. Trying to find out if you're on the list or why is like this, you know, Herculean feat. There's like 4-year-old kids on this list that can't get off of it. Ted Kennedy was on the no-fly list, you know, a senator. well, you're okay with it because, you know, because he was a liberal piece of shit.
Too bad JFK Jr. wasn't on that list.
I'm not okay, you know. No, but he was an idiot, but he shouldn't have his rights taken away, you know, for no reason.
Wait.
But now, but yeah. So
what did you say?
You heard that?
What?
Yes, I heard that. That was cold.
What did he say?
Too soon?
Oh.
Too bad JFK Jr. wasn't on that list.
Oh. Oh, man. You thought you just slipped that in there, huh?
I think I can slip a lot of things in there.
You the puckle?
Let's talk about the puckle.
You're going to puckle it up? I know the new move Drew's trying tonight. So no, but you know that it's completely, and now they want to, you know, the government just gets to decide when you're on that list and why, you know. So yeah, maybe some people are up to bad things, but most of them, I don't think are. There's no, you know, like I said, a four year old or whatever, you know, this kid.
You never know, man. That kid from Pet Sematary was a little shit.
Gage,
the one that ate Herman Munster.
Yeah, he was on the no die list because they brought him back. But
there it is. Oh, way to bring him back to zombies!
Please clap. Yeah, exactly. I love it. But yeah, now they want to tie it to if you're on this list, now you can't buy a gun. Well, you don't see nobody sees any problem with that, and that's. Like all these people who are supposedly pro liberty, pro freedom, who are going to vote Trump. Now Trump's come out and said, "Well, if you're on this list, then you can't buy a gun."
Oh my God.
I guarantee you, and a lot of them are going to be like, "Yeah, yeah, that's right." You know what I mean? But what happens when you're on the list for criticizing the government, or you know, which,
or if you by chance have the same name of someone else who's on the no-fly list?
Exactly. Well, you know, a clerical error. You know.
Yeah,
some bureaucrat, some faceless, nameless bureaucrat paper pusher, you know, screwed something up, and now it's like you have to spend how many hours of your life just to get your rights back when there was when you've done nothing wrong. Literally, there's no due process. So,
God, I've seen government working from the inside, and it's not pretty, and that can happen so easy, and it's just a horrible, horrible idea. It really is.
Right. So, you know, these are the same people that want to take your guns. But they have no problem. You know, it's such a hypocrisy. You know, on one hand, all these people are like, you know, cops are murderers, but only cops should have guns. You know what I mean? Or, you know, the government's, and I'm not saying, you know, that they don't have a point as far as policing models go, but you know what I mean? Like, if you think cops are so bad, but then when some idiot abuses their rights, you want to take the rights of other people away. It doesn't make sense. And then you justify that with saying, yeah, only the cops in government should have guns. And Bill Buppert put out a tweet, dude. It's perfect. It said that gun prohibitionists only worship government guns and will use them to remove private guns. I mean, it's perfectly summation of it. Yeah, because that's the whole thing. It's like you don't want, you know, if they were out there saying, yeah, nobody, no, the military shouldn't have guns, the government shouldn't have guns, the cops shouldn't have guns. Nobody should have guns. At least they're being kind of consistent, right? But they don't. They just think that you and I or private citizens shouldn't have guns. They just want the government to have guns.
Oh no, we're animals. We're gonna ruin it. We're gonna shoot.
How's that worked out historically? for anybody, you know, for any people or group of people.
Yeah. Now, there's a ton of gun laws in Brazil, and I feel like they're a pretty peaceful bunch.
So there's no such thing as sensible gun laws. There's no such thing as sensible, you know, regulation, because those people are always going to find a way around it, you know.
I'm going to look something up real quick for you, Andrew.
If it's what I just said, keep in mind I am full of crap.
So, anyway, biggest government, you know, the biggest massacre or biggest terrorist attack or, you know, in modern history, not even close, dude, Wounded Knee. You know, depending on the sources, that's 250, 270, 290 men, women, and children massacred by who? The government. So the government kills more people per year, per day than anybody else, but nobody bats an eye or, you know, says that they should lose their guns. But one guy goes crazy and all of a sudden everybody's rights have to be taken away. I think you kind of want to take a look at your logical thought, at your thought process if you're advocating that.
Well, if it was 250 gay people, then there would be a group to back them up.
No.
I told you, man, I'm full of crap.
That's still a horrible massacre that just highlights.
Well, and, you know, I hope this is kind of like, I don't want to say a wake-up call, but you know, I think a lot of people in the gay community tend to be liberal and therefore they kind of adopt that platform, you know. So a lot of them are anti-gun. But there are some really cool groups out there, like the Pink Pistols have been brought up a lot with, you know, and they advocate for self-defense and gun ownership in the LGBT community, which is great. And they have like a really cool slogan. It's armed queers don't get bashed or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and that's completely true. And I think I read something where a lot of people in that community now are kind of, you know, maybe taking a second look at firearm ownership and mm-hmm. protect, you know, not relying on the government to, you know, protect them, well, you know, cause when seconds matter, you know, the cops are only, you know, minutes or hours away.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about self-responsibility, self-protection, you know, taking responsibility for yourself, protecting yourself.
Well, it's interesting.
So I got to give them credit for that. That's a great group.
Oh, for sure. It's just funny. Definitely not funny. That's a bad choice of words. But, I mean, self-defense in the 70s and the 80s is not the same as what it used to be anymore. You know, you can't really expect to get mugged and you knee someone in the groin or you fight your way out of it. Like, now it's just stepped up to that point where you need to be able to – you should be able to carry –
Well, hell, even then.
Well, yeah, even then.
Even then, Carrie would have.
Well, of course it would have, but there wasn't a whole lot of mass shootings in the 70s. A lot of it was done by cults.
No. I bet you if you look at the statistics.
I don't want to read.
What you hear these days is it's publicized more because 24/7.
Because it makes news.
Constant, you know, media attention, dude. You're going to hear more about things.
Mm-hmm.
There were still shootings, killings back then, and
yeah,
we just hear about it more.
The statistics got to be so much bigger now than they were back then on shootings and those.
Well,
type of those
actually, type of murders assaults. Have gone down. Like they've consistently gone down almost year by year. In fact, you look at statistic wise, the amount of people who are killed by guns is, I think, around 4%. Or I'm not sure. You know, it's a couple of years old, but the amount of people killed by handguns was like, you know, 6,000 or something in 1 year, and the amount killed by rifles was like 80, or you know what I mean. But nobody's talking about banning handguns, which are, you know, responsible for quote unquote most of the gun violence. Where they're talking about banning that rifle, you know, which is responsible for far fewer deaths. So it kind of tells you, you know, their motive. You know, they're not really trying to decrease gun violence. They're just trying to get guns that they think are scary or the government doesn't want you to have out of your hands.
Well, yeah, they make loud noises, though. They smell like sulfur. They look dangerous.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because even those statistics are flawed, because those count self-defense.
Right, exactly. Killings. Yeah, so
they count so many things in there that are not actually, you know, quote unquote murders.
So, yeah, there's a really good The Guardian, I think, does a really good counter, you know, like a website that does they call it The Counted, I believe, called, and they count how many people have been killed year to date by police. And the last time I checked, it was in the 400s. So, you know, the police have killed, you know, how many times more than that guy did. But yeah, 400, almost 500. So they've killed almost 10 times as many people this year than that shooter did. But
what is that website? I've never seen that before.
The Counted?
No, Liberty Compass.
Yeah, Liberty Compass is great. It's kind of like a libertarian Drudge Report.
Oh, cool! I'm gonna start going there.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've been defaulting to Drudge Report because that's from my old conservative days.
Oh, I remember those days.
Yeah, I'm a reformed statist, man. I'm with you. You know, I've gone the whole spectrum, dude. Growing up, I was in my 20s. You know, they say like if you weren't a communist in your 20s, you know, when you're 25, you have no heart, and if you're still a communist at 50, you have no brain. So I think I'm a little bit ahead of the curve, you know, but I went that whole spectrum, like, you know, uber left to, you know, conservative or cuckservative, whatever you want to call them. And then, you know, I kind of figured out that it's two sides of the same status coin. You know, it's you're just trying to force your views on people. There just happen to be different views. And, you know, yeah, it's the horseshoe, man. Like, right? Is that what you're doing?
The right, left.
He's making little air gestures. Sorry. Which doesn't work on the podcast. I'm trying to explain what you're doing. But it is like I've heard it described as like the horseshoe, you know. It's like you're so far on either side that you almost meet, you know, so the far left and the far right aren't so far apart, you know, cuz they kind of boomerang back in, you know. You find that sweet middle, you know.
See, I was a Republican pretty much from a kid.
Yeah.
And let me see, probably about 7-some-odd years ago, I started thinking beyond that and started me in this spiral that eventually led to me leaving the Republican registration and registering libertarian, and I think I'm slowly devolving into something else.
Now, you're a registered libertarian? You remember the LP?
Yes.
Are you like into the whole voting? Are you following the party there, or the elections or whatever?
Yeah.
I'll give you Gary Johnson credit, dude. I'll give credit where it's due. I'm not a huge fan of Gary Johnson, and
I'm not a huge fan either.
But I can't stand his running mate, Weld or whatever. He's total status. But they've been doing that for years. Yeah. Bill Barr and all that.
They're trying to buy
buy votes. What I read earlier was that Johnson came out against the no-fly, no-buy list.
Did he really?
Yeah. So I give him credit for that. I mean, he'll force you to bake a cake, but
he won't make you.
But yeah, but at least he won't put you, you know, based on some kind of, you know, nameless agency saying that you're a terrorist. He won't put you on the no-buy list. So you know, I'll give credit where it's due.
So I went to I was curious. I went to the Maricopa County Libertarian meeting, which was at this rundown Chinese restaurant over in Phoenix someplace, and that was the first
Was the food good at least? Related.
It was all right.
It was all right. Okay.
It was the first anything related to party anything I had ever been to. And of course, I show up the one night that they're getting calls from, I think it was about 8 candidates for the Libertarian nomination. And the guy hosting it, like doing the questions, because they had questions to ask, and we all submitted little things to slip to him. When Kerry Johnson came on, dude, it apparently we all pissed him off because they sat and harped on the cake issue and the right to association.
Nice.
And he got to the point that he said, pretty much, so you're all just okay with, you know, bigotry, huh?
Oh God.
And oh my God, he was just hearing his voice.
Yeah.
He was ratcheting up more and more piss. So we're like, well,
no, we're not. But there's other ways to address it, which is, yeah, like you said, freedom of association.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, if this guy's a bigot or whatever, then, you know, the whole reputation system, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You have, especially with the internet, you got Yelp and whatever social media, you know, go say, hey, this guy's a bigot. I don't want to, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do business with him if you have these values. Vote with your feet, vote with your dollars. So.
It was just funny watching because it pretty much got to a shouting match over speaker.
What a statist response.
It was hilarious.
That's awesome.
We were all laughing. I'm pretty sure he heard us all.
So bake the cake, man. I wonder if you didn't bake the cake, if then he would put you on the no-buy list.
Probably.
Yeah.
Drew? Andrew's like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I feel like you guys are going to start touching each other's peckle guns.
Give me some serious puckling.
Puckling. It's now become a verb.
A puckle in every pocket.
Puckle up, John.
There you go. There's a libertarian. There's a new Libertarian Party motto, a puckle in every pocket. I like
a puckle
it.
In every
Not a chicken thing. In every pot, a puckle in every pocket.
Nice. I take that.
That's cute. You guys were looking at each other's eyes when you were talking
about
that.
Did you see, what was his name, Gary Weeks or whatever? Did you see him on C-SPAN dancing? Oh, the dude who got in his thong?
I didn't see it, but I was listening to that podcast you recommended to me. And I was
the Freedom Fiends. Yeah,
he was on there.
Yeah, it was a pretty good interview.
Okay, so for Andrew who didn't know,
he was too busy watching the sports, sports ball. Soccer, what do you know?
Sports,
FIFA.
There's stuff going on, man. The NBA finals are tonight. They're starting in 40 minutes.
Who's playing in that?
God damn it, John.
No, I know. I just like pissing you off.
I know you do.
I just don't care about basketball. I mean, I
used to.
It's cool. It sounds like a really good game. It's like the whatever, right?
Yeah, the
it's winner takes Cavs all and the right
Warriors.
Now. Yeah,
not right now.
Oh no, no.
Warriors
okay.
need to win tonight.
I thought it was Game 7 or
the
whatever.
NBA's fixed.
Yeah,
they're gonna make the Cavaliers win, so it goes to a Game 7.
But your elections aren't anyway. Yeah, no, you know, I'm not gonna tell people how to spend their time. You know, go enjoy the things you enjoy.
I'm sorry, John. Go ahead, tell me about things.
So this was on what it was C-SPAN and. It was the Libertarian Party convention, and this dude got up there, who was actually running for office. And
yeah, he's a full-on member of the party.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, yeah, he got kicked out.
Dude, he gets up and starts doing a strip dance and strips down to his chonies on C-SPAN.
Why?
Because freedom.
Yeah, because of a couple of reasons. One, yeah, well, I mean,
kind of like a. He explained it. It's pretty interesting.
Like the emperor has no clothes,
right, exactly.
Kind of thing, trying to show that all of this is pretty much, you know,
dog and pony.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Doesn't sound like it worked out for
him
like too well.
Oh, he doesn't care.
No, it was an act of protest, essentially. Or, okay. You know,
he was actually there as another state's delegate, so he didn't care.
All right,
good it for was. Him. It's funny.
We need more of that.
I'm down. Just like I'm doing.
Hey, well,
go ahead, John. Start,
yeah, John.
Dance.
No.
You can do it next election. Work on your routine, man. You got 4 years.
I don't have that kind of body. No, thank you.
I don't.
4 years, man. You can do it.
I don't want. I know.
Yeah. So yeah, I applaud your. You know, I shared your journey from a reform statist. I think
reformed recovering status.
Yeah. I think a lot. I wonder how many people who are like total Bernie bots, you know, are gonna kind of make that leap after he. I mean, he's already not going to be the nominee, but
I'm hoping a lot, actually.
Yeah,
I really am.
Kind of like the whole Ron Paul effect.
Yeah,
you know what's the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist? 6 months.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
You know, so it might take a little longer for some of the people on the left to make it, but
I think I'm on the way there. I really do. It scares me a little bit.
See, I'm just trying to get Drew to be a libertarian. And then, you know.
I like the idea of being left the hell alone.
Most people do until they, you know. It's always interesting to me. Like, most people think, like, I just want to be left alone. But then they don't leave other people alone, you know.
I don't care about other people.
Don't tread on me, but, you know.
And see, there I'm gonna, you go. But you're America, already halfway there. You know.
I mind my business. I pay my bills. I'm good.
See, the other half is not wanting to pay the other required things.
Not asking permission.
Well, that's why I had a problem with Bernie. Like, before I, you know, looked into it a little bit more, I'm like, why? This guy's talking about, like, healthcare and college for people. Those all sound like good things. Then I heard where it's coming from. I'm like, you know what? I am not going to pay for your college.
Not your kids, but somebody's kids will be paying for it. Mine.
Yeah. No, screw that, man.
John's, other people's.
My money's my money.
How dare you, sir? How dare you be so selfish?
I don't care.
So self-centered.
Taxation is
See, it's right up your alley. Self-centered.
Perfect. Great. It was made for me. You know what? I might have the body to strip in 4 years.
I've been having you know, this and a lot of other issues, man. I've been having a lot of like face beefs, Facebook beefs.
Jesus, man. Most people will post things cute about their family or
I don't.
You don't. You never do. Anytime
Dude,
I see.
Occasionally.
No, I don't think I've ever seen you post anything.
Yeah.
It's always.
Well, don't you have like the anti-kid filter? Because you're always complaining.
I wish. Because you're always complaining about the anti-kid filter.
You're always complaining about seeing people's kids on your feed. So
I'm going to start blocking my cousins.
I do it just because of you. I don't put pictures of my kids on my feed just to satisfy you. That's how much your friendship means to me.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
No, I don't. But, you know, Facebook owns anything you put on there. So, you know, I'm kind of judicious with how many pictures of my kids I put on there. But whatever, you know. At this point, it's largely academic, I guess. It's all up there.
No, I know you've burnt a number of bridges because of things you post and people don't agree with it. And then, God forbid, you ever back down from a point because you're going to argue it. And
I've been enjoying watching those. I have.
Okay. Well, at least somebody's getting some enjoyment out of it. No, I mean, I enjoy the active debate of it. You know, I don't want to say exchanging ideas because most of the people I debate don't have any good ideas to exchange.
No, I don't feel like an active debate is
no, I'm you know what I mean. But it's mostly like, you know, the same stuff. Like, you know, taxation isn't theft because of roads or, you know.
Oh my God, the roads. I hate just, that.
You know, or whatever, you know. Well, you're not a real libertarian if, you know, you use the stuff that your taxes pay for. It's like
my taxes pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it.
Exactly. You know, I'm not a tax eater. You know, I'm actually paying them. So, yeah, you know, it's just stuff like that. Or the whole gun argument, you know. I don't know. It's a fine line, I think, because I love all of my friends. I love, you know, most of the people on Facebook I know personally, you know. So I don't want to, you know, alienate them too bad because I love them, you know, or like them, you know. I love some of them, like most of them.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're going to be okay if you lose a few.
Oh, I have to be. Anytime you take like a stand on something, you're going to, you know what I mean, alienate a certain portion of people. So
I don't think it's possible to have a debate on the internet, especially on Facebook. It's going to end up turning into a fight. And it's going to be a comment feed of these novels and paragraphs.
Yeah. It eventually just turns to a meme off.
And I will be there to save them all.
So, yeah.
No, I feel that, like a lot of those
that's
things.
That's how you know when it's ending is when it, you know, when I just started spamming memes. I'm like, okay, we're done.
This is just turning into childish name calling.
I do enjoy the act of debate or going back and forth. It's just sometimes it.
Depending who you're talking to, there's people that can go back and forth with you, and then there's other people that are going to get offended after three posts, and then you get deleted.
I think the problem is when you run into when you expect to change people's minds, like I'm almost always like debating these people to like test what I think, you know, like it's a test for me to be better in what I believe, or a test for consistency, not like, hey, I'm gonna bring you over to this other side. That might be like a fringe benefit, like somebody, you know, you never know who's reading it. They might be like off the side reading it and be like, oh dude, I never thought of it that way, you know, or this guy's a dick and I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter. But you know, I don't ever really expect to convince anybody, but you know,
it doesn't stop you from posting them.
I don't no it doesn't. So I don't want to alienate anybody, you know, like I said, I rarely talk politics to most people or whatever. To most people that I know, like
why am I? One
if you
of the
look at my
ones?
Facebook feed or listen to the podcast, you think that was all I would ever talk about. But in just general conversation, I try not to bring it up unless somebody directly asks me something, and then I'll bring it up. But
or you're watching the news.
I'm not out proselytizing. Watching the news. I'm infamous for yelling at the television.
He's that guy that yells at the TV.
I don't blame him.
In the break room. Don't worry about anyone else's break.
I'm becoming my old man.
he's that guy.
Really, I don't yell, dude. I might make a comment under my breath.
See, it's funny. We try not
you
to
breathe
have the,
loudly. Then
at work, we tend to have the news on during the day, and I'm surrounded by neocons pretty much. So it's kind of funny when everyone is groaning and moaning about the same thing. And I'm just in the back going, you're all just wrong. I'm not going to start the conversation, but you're all just wrong.
Yeah. That's when it – facepalm. So turn on the phone and tune out.
Yeah. I won't post. I'm not smart enough to post or opinionated enough to post any political rants.
Don't use a negative statement about yourself. Not on my podcast.
Okay. It's not negative. It's just damn true. John knows this. I don't know enough about politics to debate things, but I do like posting things just to poke at people. But I don't know. I mean, it never changes anyone's mind.
Right. I never expect it to, but, you know, it's always up to a point. It's fun to do it.
I use it to sharpen my debate. That's all.
It makes good podcast research, too. You know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay.
I had a friend of mine that I recently got into on someone else's post about something, and it went on for quite a while. It was kind of funny. I wasn't expecting it. I was just agreeing more or less with what the person posted, and then someone else from work, a good friend of mine, went on and started badgering me, and next thing you know, I'm destroying him in debate, and he stops posting, and I go, okay. I guess we'll see you at work.
Yeah. I know. I always do that too. And then you show up the next morning. Hey, what's up? You know,
like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. John, thanks for being on. You guys got anything else you want to talk about, man?
No.
You don't want to dog on Florida some more?
There's way too much to make fun
of. Dude, Florida's had a rough go of it.
Florida's...
Okay, for those of you that haven't heard, I can't remember if we talked about it. They've kind of predicted, not necessarily this, but just crap coming out of Florida during one of the two legit panels.
I mean, in all fairness, Florida has been something of a train wreck, like well before that. But at Comic-Con, I don't recall what it was, but if you guys follow Too Legit on Facebook or Stitcher or iTunes or what Twitter, whatever, any of the things we're on, we're going to post the episodes that we did at the on the panels at Comic-Con. But yeah, John's right. At some point, we brought up Florida just being this weird state where just things happen.
Yeah.
And then no more than a week and a half after Comic-Con, did a 2-year-old get snatched up by an alligator at Disney World's Resort.
Some singer got shot.
Off of the voice.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then the nightclub, then the alligator. And I want to bring some levity here. There was a fight in a bar over a fart.
I want to know what that smelled like.
I think we've had some podcasts in like that. Yeah, some people got in a bar brawl over a fart. Who smelt it, dealt it. Just one of those things that happens in Florida, I guess. And I got people that listen to me in Florida, so I'm not dogging your state. You guys know what's up with the
I'm
state,
sure there's a lot of good things in Florida, but there's a handful of just weird things that only happen
in
Florida.
They need a break, man. They've had a rough go lately. So.
They're the first state that, as far as I know, had a citizen smoke bath salts. Like, good for you.
And then eat someone's face?
Then eat someone's face. Like, Florida...
I thought they tested him and he only had... something else in the system. Anyway, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
doesn't matter. Either Florida's way.
The first zombie. Yeah, case.
Like we all thought the zombie thing was going to start in Florida, which I don't think is that far off.
No. So,
Florida, keep being
Florida.
Weird.
You're in our hearts, man. You need a break.
Absolutely,
Florida man on Twitter,
or
guys.
Florida, just get your act together one way or the other.
No, stay weird, guys. I think they say like Austin. I think that's like Austin, Texas's. Motto like Austin, stay weird.
Keep Austin weird.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, Florida has you beat, Austin. Like,
there's weird, and then there's just
Then there's Florida.
There's weird, then there's Florida. Not don't go Florida weird. You know, it's like don't go full don't go full potato.
Yeah, don't go full.
You know, don't go full Florida. You know. All right, we love you, Florida.
I love Florida.
But yeah, you gotta
go down there eventually.
You gotta watch the news. How the news spins that stuff too.
That's not my taking into consideration a lot with stories, just how they turn the story.
Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast while I go to bed and or lay in bed before I fall asleep. And I was listening to the Bad Quaker podcast last night, which is – if you listen to The Fiends, John, right, check out the Bad Quaker podcast because it's amazing. And he was talking about how the news will directly take seemingly too contradictory or you know – opposing viewpoints on a subject, but they're really not, and they tie it together to create this kind of like unified view, you know, basically forming opinion, you know. And yeah, I think Florida's got a lot of that going on right now with that shooting, so it's a good episode, good podcast, so go check it out.
You know what else is a good podcast?
You're gonna tell me.
Not yours.
Let me tell you.
He's on my podcast, so I don't want to be the guy to say it. I like that you brought that you went there.
Guys, I think a great podcast is Too Legit with Drew and Nick. These guys are so wholesome, very genuine in their approach.
Good health of mine.
I'm smelling some sulfur. It's not from an AR. don't get PTSD. You might get PTSD from your podcast.
Some classy guys.
Trigger.
They're just talking about some 90s things in a casual manner. It's good, every bit of that is a lie.
Except for the 90s.
Except.
You went full mainstream media right there, bro. Way to sell it.
Yeah, no, I really twisted that story. No, guys, hey, listen to Too Legit with Drew and Nick.
And keep listening to the Zombies Government and you. Let us know your thoughts and appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm David.
I'm Drew.
John,
thanks for being on, man, for the first time. Hopefully not the last.
Yeah, thanks, Fred.
Hope it's the last.
I know. I don't care.
Whatever, Han. Shut up.
That's exactly what I was going for.
All right, guys.
All right, thanks, Dave.
We'll see you soon.
Did you remember push record this time?
I did. I still don't know if I'm going to release that last episode or that last panel. Stuff up, man. Huh?